This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. Our message for this session was first published in the month of October of the year 2011. And our subject scripture is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 15, starting at verse number 7 through verse number 9. And if you have the scriptures available, you'll find these words recorded. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." The title for the message: How Christians Should Vote and Why, Part Number 2. Now, last month I dared to go where no preacher that wants to remain popular with men would dare to go. I put it all out there for you to examine in regards to God's view on the choices that we make in pertaining to our voting. As usual, and this is to be expected, I have had some responses from other Christians essentially saying that I should stick with preaching the gospel and keep politics out of it. Well, that's easy for them to say. They haven't been told by God to go out and tear down the walls the devil has built up in this and other areas. Do you know that, among other things, politics and our political views are tied in the nice little package called religion? If you read the full definition of religion in the dictionary, you will see that it is defined as, among other things, a personal or institutionalized system of beliefs which a person patterns their lives after. this essentially means if you view things and make choices based on your political ideals, you are involved in a religious practice. So then, the question must be asked, where does God and His Word fit in? You see, God has absolutely no problem with you voting. In fact, I know this is a blessing to be able to choose our leaders. The question is, what takes priority in your choices? Are you more concerned about what He has to say about your choices, or what men may say about it? There is a big difference. If you vote strictly on what men have to say about a candidate and what he or she stands for, then whether you like it or not, you are carnally minded. And in certain instances, you are a fool. Why do I say that? Answering the last part first, the Bible says in Psalms 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Now rehash that first part that I said. The fool has said in his heart that there is no God. Now, while many would attribute this scripture to mean atheists, which it does, that is not the only meaning that it has. It also carries with it the idea of believing that God can somehow be excluded from things that we do without consequence. Let me give you the very basic example of how this goes. When you woke up this morning, what woke you up? The atheist would say the alarm clock, the phone, some noise, or they woke themselves up. Now, mind you, the atheist is a fool. If you, as a Christian, respond in like manner, then what you are exhibiting, then what are you exhibiting? You are identifying with a fool. So, like it or not, that makes you one as well. How? Because you are saying you don't need God to wake you up, or there is no work of God in this area. Now, translate that to the bigger picture of saying, this nation can run and prosper without God's involvement in its affairs. That's what the atheist says, and that is what you are saying. Making choices on anything without seeking God's direction on it first is as foolish as you can get. Even when it comes down to eating your food, why do you think you should pray over your food? Before we get in the car to go somewhere, we should pray for His blessing. Before we go to bed, we should pray. Before we begin our day, we should pray. Do you see where I'm going? Before we go to vote, we should pray. And we should pray asking His direction in who to vote for. Some Christians I know feel that they should vote for the candidate that they want and pray that he or she gets elected. That is a mistake. If the person is a devil or has or supports a devilish agenda, and you are praying for them to get elected, what does that make you? I wonder how many Christians prayed for Kwame Kilpatrick to get elected here in the city of Detroit. We all know where that went, don't we? Most of the time, God's direction will not make any sense at all as far as who he approves of, because the carnal mind can't see the spiritual consequences related to that direction. That is why most of you vote the way that you do. But you are not supposed to be carnal, but spiritual. Carnal minds support carnally minded politicians, and therefore you get a carnally minded government. Then you wonder why they can't get anything done. It is because God does not place his blessing on carnal solutions to problems, which then only leave the opposite of the blessing to occur, and that is curses. Remember Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 15 down through the end. Every problem we are facing in this nation has at its core some carnal solution that man came up with to solve a spiritual problem. Even the so-called natural disasters are tied into them. Consider this. Prayer was taken out of the public schools because some people didn't like to have their children sit in a classroom listening to or reciting a prayer to a God that they didn't believe in. So, what happened to the public schools since then? They have become war zones. Gangs, drug dealers rule. You have metal detectors installed and police patrolling the schools at a cost that is budget breaking for local municipalities. All of this because prayer was removed. And this isn't half of the problem. Look at the illiteracy rate and the problems with teen pregnancies in these same schools. All because of the removal of a little thing as prayer. Well, let's take a look at the Republican Party, shall we? Remember I said last month, no party is 100% perfect. However, this party is a lot closer to the principles that God says we should follow than the Democratic Party, and as such, a move from the Democratic Party to the Republican Party is a step in the right direction, because it is a move that brings you closer to God and his righteousness. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse number 8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. What the first part of this scripture is saying is, when you choose to move closer to God, he will move closer to you. And how do you do that? look at the last part. All of that summed up means get your act together and repent. Turn away from your wicked ways. If you take a ladder, and stand it up vertical, and at the top you put God the Father, then on the next rung down you put Christ, then halfway down you put the Republican Party, and at the bottom you put the Democratic Party, you can get an accurate picture of how God sees it. Supporting the Democratic Party is supporting the bottom of the barrel, so to speak. In order to move closer to God, you have to move up in the direction of the Republican Party as you are heading toward Christ. You can be the most sincere and well-meaning Christian that there is, but remember this: the road to hell is paved with good intentions. The problem most of you have is that you have essentially been programmed to believe things about Christ and Christianity that are full of half-truths and outright lies by preachers who are either just as ignorant to the truth as you are, or they are ministers of the devil or darkness. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15 says this: "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Now listen to this part. "Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." In other words, they have all of the appearances of being men and women of God, but they are really aligned with the devil. The Apostle Paul gave this warning that should be heeded, and I include myself in the same warning. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. He says, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." Now get this: "But though I, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we preached unto you, let him be accursed." As I have mentioned in times past, if you want to blame anyone for the condition of this nation, all you have to do is look at the man or woman in the pulpit. The buck stops with them. Most of the Democratic politicians, I believe, do go to church and say that they are Christians. Therefore, the only reason I can say that they support the foolishness that they do is because their pastors or preachers that they look to for advice are not telling them the truth. Therefore, they think that God approves of their stance on the issues that I named earlier: abortion, gay rights, separation of church and state, or God and state, affirmative action, or that he is just doesn't care. Then when someone like myself calls them on it, they think they are being that we are being extreme and mean-spirited, and as such you can see how we or where we are, or see how we are and where we are. Here is a clear example of what I am talking about. A couple of weeks ago, I called the Reverend Al Sharpton on his radio show, Keeping It Real, to ask him a specific question. Now, to set this up, I only gave my first name. I didn't say I was an evangelist. I never introduced myself as such, because titles like Reverend, Bishop, Evangelist, or others in the church command a certain position of respect. However, when a preacher calls into a talk show, when they say their name is Reverend so-and-so, what they are usually saying is that because of their title, they deserve more airtime to talk than someone who is one of the ordinary listeners that call in. So to him, I was just an ordinary Joe. Anyway, from the get-go, I told him I was going to put him on the spot. I don't believe in tricking someone or setting them up by deceitful means. That's why, to many of you, I am being too judgmental, because I don't bite my tongue when it comes to the word. So, he says, go ahead. I then asked him one simple question, and that was, what would you say the first thing is that we need to do to get this nation back on the right track? His answer was, we need to sit down and discuss the ways to get people back to work, deal with crime and poverty, and find common ground so that we can all have peace. My response to this was, well, Reverend, I disagree. What we need to do is get right with God first, because if we don't do that, then nothing that we try to do will ever work. When he heard that, he went off on me. Now, mind you, this is a preacher, a man of God, supposedly. The name of his show is Keeping It Real with Al Sharpton. Now, what is more real than what I told him? But he didn't want to hear it. He asked me, what did I mean, meaning give him an example. I mentioned abortion, and that was as far as I got. He began to chastise me, asking me to give him some scriptures to back up what I was saying. Then he hung up before I could. Now, here is a trick most talk show hosts use to make it appear that the callers that disagree with them used to protect their reputations. The host has a 10 or more second time delay buffer. This allows them to say, for instance, to bleep out any obscene comments a caller or even themselves might make before it is aired. Between this and commercial breaks, they can either blot out what a caller like myself says to make it appear as if I have been dumbfounded and can't answer the question, or they can go into a commercial break telling the caller to hang on until after the break, and then when they come back on, they say, "Is the caller still there?" Knowing all the time that they, the host, have hung up on the caller, but giving the impression again that the caller couldn't answer the question and gave up. Now, mind you again, this is a reverend. He is also a leader in the black community. Millions of people listen to and follow what he says, and the majority of what he says is based strictly on carnal thinking, which means it will get you nowhere. Then we wonder why the black community especially is in the condition it is in. This is what Paul was warning about when he said that the devil's ministers, being transformed into the angels of light or righteousness. You have a choice to make, my friends. Are you going to draw nigh to God, or are you satisfied with where you are in the bottom of the barrel? Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre closing out this last part two of our subject today, and I hope that the message, quite frankly, is quite clear, because Jesus made it this way, made it clear even in the scriptures. If you just read the subject scriptures, where he says that too many of his people that claim to be following him are too busy in churches and things like that, teaching for doctrine instead of the word of God, the doctrine of men, what men say is right and wrong instead of what God says is right and wrong. And that's the problem. And especially when you've got people like people running for president, people running for the Senate, people running for Congress, people running for governor, for mayor, people running for judgeships and so forth. These people go to church and they sit there and they listen to the what's supposed to be the man of God giving them God's direction of how to make decisions and what's right and what's wrong as far as God is concerned. And too many of these preachers are too busy trying to keep from offending these politicians that come into their churches, because they realize that if the politician gets in office, that could be another feather in the preacher's cap, because now the preacher's got some clout with the president or the governor or the senator or the congressperson or the judge or something like that, and that carries a lot of weight in the community, and a lot of people will begin to look at this preacher as being somebody to be a leader in the community. They'll come to his church and give offerings and so forth like that. Plus the politician, will support the pastor or something like that. The pastor might want to be building a bigger church or purchase some land or something to build apartments and things like that, you know, or something along that line that would help enrich that particular pastor and so forth, and they need to get clearance to purchase the property or something like that, and the politician will make the way for them to get the land at either no cost or at very low cost as compared to what somebody else that the politician don't know would have to pay for the land. You know, it's all these sweetheart deals and things going on. So the preacher is thinking about all of that, so he tempers his message to satisfy these people. Well, the problem is he's doing that because he is figuring out what it is these people want to hear that's going to make them look on him favorably, and what they want, what she figures that they want to hear is that him or her and their congregation is going to support this politician in their stance on whatever agenda that the people are, that the politician is running on. And that's where we run into our problems, because if he's running on a devilish agenda and the preacher supports it and allows them to get up in the front of the church and talk to the people about casting their votes for them, then the politician, the judge, the senator, and the president, things like that, leave thinking that they have God's blessing for what they're trying to do, when in fact they don't. They have the devil's curse on them for what they're trying to do. But, you know, nobody really realizes that, because they just think, you know, it's the Republicans that's stopping them from making any progress, when all along it's the fact that God is doing it because he's not pleased with what they're doing. And so that's the reason why we're in the mess that we're in today. And that's why I say it behooves those of us that name the name of Christ that when we go out voting for people, do your due diligence to find out as much as you can about where these people stand on the issues that God addresses as sin, and begin to operate from that, and rejecting things like abortion and gay rights and affirmative action, environmentalism, separation of church and state and stuff like that. Like I'm saying, you know, no party is perfect, but when you've got a party like the Republican Party, which is the only other party, viable party really, that is at least trying to do what is right according to what God says, that's the party you need to support. Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre closing this part of our message out today, and I hope that you got something from it. Until we get together again for another message from the Word of God, good day.